the Hollywood Bound Actor Podcast. The number one place to be if you're an actor who wants to book starring roles in film and television. And now your host, the booking magnet, Christine Horn.
Hey, what's up? It's Christine Horn, the booking magnet, and welcome back to another episode of Booking Magnet Magic. Oh, listen, today I'm interviewing a friend, a coach, an actress, just an all-around very cool human being. You know her as Wendy Braun. Many of you know her from her wonderful portrayal on the show Atypical, that's on Netflix. She's super funny, but she's also been on shows like This Is Us, Grey's Anatomy, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I mean, just check her credit. She has receipts for days. But also, many actors, if you're already in Wendy's world, you know she is the founder of Actor Inspiration, and she truly is an inspiration with her guided meditations and her courses. She truly is a game changer, and she and I connected some years ago because, you know, birds of a feather flock together, and we found each other, we resonated, and it was truly an honor getting to know her, hear about her past and all the stories that have led to the success that she has now. So get your popcorn, get you a cup of tea or a glass of wine, honey, and enjoy this interview with Wendy Braun. Wendy and I are just dying to get into this conversation. Wendy Braun, thank you. Welcome to Booking Magnet Magic.
Christine Horn, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I'm a huge fan of yours. You light up every space you're in, whether it's virtual or in the room, and I've been blessed to see you in both. And so I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. And for those of you who are not watching, Wendy and I are like, without planning, we're both like wearing beautiful navy blue today. Didn't even plan it.
We're just on it.
Yes. Wendy, seriously, thank you for saying yes. And I'm so excited for you all to experience Wendy Braun. She and I met some years ago when I moved back to LA and just ended up in the same kind of coaching actor space with some mutual connections. And we've had a chance to get to know each other a bit over the years. But I haven't heard the answers to these questions. So I'm equally as curious. During this Booking Magnet Magic series, as a reminder to all of you watching and listening, we're here to remind you that each and every one of us has something that is magnetic and magical about us. You are not the only one who doesn't have something. Every single one of us does. It's about you being aware and tapped into what that is, which might take some work. And Wendy has some great resources she will share with you later. But I just want you to know that. So take a woosah, breathe, and just be open. So I want to dive in again. And like we always do, we're going to put Wendy's bio and links and all that in the show notes, but I want to just dive right in. Where are you from, Wendy? How did you even get started in entertainment?
Yeah. So I am from the northern suburbs of Chicago, sort of where all the John Hughes movies were made, actually, Glenview, Northbrook. And I grew up, oddly, my mother was actually the romper room lady. No joke. And I don't know if you, romper room was in different markets. It wasn't all over the world. It was definitely in the States. I don't know who, if you're listening from somewhere else, but so she was, it was like a kid show on TV. And then she had me and my brother. And in those days, not only could you not be pregnant on TV, but you couldn't say the word pregnant. And so she stopped doing that. It wasn't like I grew up with a mom who was on TV, but she had done that. So she was super supportive of the arts. And always taking me to see every show in Chicago that came in, and, you know, just sort of growing up definitely with parents who encouraged that, you know.
Gotcha. So keep going. So yeah. They encouraged it.
Well, here's the funny thing about it. I say it like she took me to every show. Well, she didn't buy like house seats. We ushered to every show. Like I was like a volunteer usher at 12 years old, which was actually highly embarrassing as like a seventh grader. Cause I would see friends in the neighborhood, like come to the show and I'd be like, here's your program, but that's fine. But I did see everything. And then so I was always encouraged. My mom always said, like, I danced to the phone back when it was on the wall, you know, that I would, you know, like dance to the phone. And I was always, you know, we had like the Braun family talent show with like a piece of cardboard and I would dance and sing. And it was, I think when you're a performer, it's usually rooted really early, perhaps. Maybe some people don't find it like professionally, which I didn't until much later, but I was cast as the scarecrow in The Wiz in seventh grade.
Yes.
And
so,
and I say it like that because I was 5'10" at age 13.
Right.
Seventh grade. And so I was like such a fish out of water and so gangly and not, and feeling really like I used to, before dance class, I sort of walked around, you know, trying to be shorter. And, you know, that role, being able to, which I didn't realize I was doing until later, but taking all my, you know, unique gawkiness and awkwardness and sort of funneling it into a role that required that was like, oh, I have goosebumps saying it. I definitely think it like sort of saved my soul at the time, a time when I was feeling really like out of place. But then in the role, I was, it was like everything. So yeah. And that was seventh grade, you know, it was a little production in like, you know, the multi-purpose room, you know.
those are the ones that stick with you. I remember mine was fifth grade, Cinderella and the Prince of Pollution. I had one line.
Come on.
But it's still up there. So we go from the scarecrow, you were in dance class. I'm still want to go on the journey to How We Know the Wind we are talking today.
Yeah. I did like every musical in high school, the variety show. I was a singer dancer. I was on drill team. I was like, definitely, I think one year I didn't get anything in the show. So then I played softball and was like, okay, this isn't me. and then I went to college and I wanted to go to, I wanted to come to California. And my father was a very like Navy pilot, veteran, World War II dad, who was like, no 18-year-old of mine's going to LA. Cause it was like, I was very raised very sort of in this Midwest wholesome house. And so I went to Indiana University and studied theater there and communications. And then I came to LA shortly after that because I was determined to do that. Yeah.
You're like, I did the school. I listened to you, Dad.
Right.
But now it's it. What was that like when you got here? did you...
Well,
can you think back to young Wendy, first stars in her eyes, finally landed here? Like, this is not even a planned question, but what were some of the things that you thought you were so doing right? And now that you look back, you're
like, oh my God. Okay. I'll tell you a couple. I laugh when you say, what was it like when you first got here? Because I moved here 5 days before the Northridge earthquake in 1994. That's all. Like, I literally moved here January 12th, and I think the earthquake was the 17th. So,
wow.
I remember like I stayed at my brother's place. He was in like a Melrose Place type apartment where the pool's in the middle, you know? And I remember like, you know, thinking the world was ending and they were starting in this apartment in Burbank and the water of the pool just like, you know, like half the water was gone because it shook so much. And I remember calling my mom being like, there was just an earthquake, but I'm fine, you know? And then the phones were dead forever. And then she had called back like a couple of days later. She's like, are you going to stay? What are you going to do? I'm like, well, it's January and it's 80 degrees out. So I'm staying. But you know, the top 10 agents, commercial agents, when I first got here, they all turned me down. And I think I laugh because part of it was like, I had done like this mime industrial, no joke, where I was like a mime in for this chair furniture gig, but it was out of Chicago and they flew me to St. Louis. And it was like the biggest deal because I was going to be like miming in some chair industrial. And I think I literally put it on a VHS tape, that with a couple other commercials from Chicago, and tried to get an agent. And it's no wonder. But anyway, was me thinking like, oh my God, I'm like Shields and Yarnell because everyone needs a mime, you know, like it's hilarious to me. Anyway, so walking around with my tape, you know, trying to get an agent. So the top 10 agents turned me down and they all told me I was too tall. They didn't say I was too mimey, although that's probably what they were thinking. I probably should have been like, I don't have a tape. It would have been better if it's like, right, I don't have tape. Not like, here's my really crappy tape. I got to dig that stuff out. That would be good to show.
Oh, Wendy.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
We would love to see that on your Instagram.
Hello. And my lash just fell off like magnetic lashes. There you have it. So you got to work with it and you got to call it out. Elephant in the room. Wow. I just tried these new magnetic lashes.
Oh, no.
And clearly.
You want me to pause? I'm going to
pause. No. It's fine. They don't work. And I talk with my hands. So I probably had too much breeze going on. They rather hear than, you know, anyway.
I've tried them and then I don't find them good for long.
Oh my God. Well, I used to have the ones with the actual magnets on and there's like this new kind with no magnets. It's like, guess what? You need the magnets. All right.
From here, you can't tell, by the way.
Okay,
from here,
I'm far back.
Because your liner still is. Yeah, right?
That is just so funny.
I love it.
Anyway, so yeah, top 10 agents all turned me down. And, you know, I definitely cried in my car on like every freeway in Los Angeles. And, you know, thinking that it would all happen much sooner and quicker and easier, because in my head, that's how it was going to go. And, you know, I definitely will say, like, it made me figure, it made me, you know, go to class and do just study more. I started doing improv and stand up and, you know, acting classes and just whatever I could to hone my craft. I started doing every like student film and indie film and just like started working on my own stuff. And actually 3 years after all those agents told me no, it wasn't 3 weeks, it was 3 years. You know, I got a smaller agent, worked my way up, and I booked like 19 national commercials in 1 year. And that was like after hearing a lot of no's, you know? Yeah. So that's like a little mini, I guess, capture of what it was like.
I love you know? That. And I'm so, thank you for being transparent and sharing. I think it's so important because it's so easy for us to create the distance, and we can see Wendy now. You're on TV all the time, and you've done like, and you can, people need to hear.
Yes. Yes.
It doesn't mean your story will be like Wendy's or mine, but just know that everyone's journey is different and the timetable is different and it just looks different for all of us, but yes. People can forget, people can miss the work that you put in.
Yes. Yes. Christine. And I still at times, like when I think back to those, there were so many like ugly cry in my apartment moments, like when and where and what do I have to do? And I know so many people still feel like that. And you know what, guys, I still have moments like that, like for whatever level you're trying to reach, right? You know, it's like, I still, you know, I just have like, now I do it in my house instead of an apartment or whatever, you know, like the space has gotten a little nicer over the years. But I do remember being like, having a campaign and being like on this commercial job where the guy I was with had just booked a pilot, and they were like oohing and aahing over he had just booked a pilot. And I remember just like calling my mom crying because I like hadn't booked a pilot and I didn't have a boyfriend, and so I was on this commercial, or I had all these commercials, but it wasn't enough, you know. And I definitely remember feeling like that. And years later, yes, he did a pilot, and yes, he was like, I think, on the cover of Rolling Stone with all the cast. And years later, he's like not even in the business anymore, you know? Wow. So like when we measure ourselves by someone else's journey, we devalue what our own path is really meant to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? And I know you know that, and you know, we have to relearn that. I mean, you probably-
Yeah, it's a reminder. It's just like anything else. We need to hear it over and over again.
Yes.
Truly, it's mindset work is daily work.
It is. It's like showering, you know, you don't do it once and like, I'm clean forever. And at every level, I think, or maybe even after every audition, it like kind of never ends. As an actor, you think, oh, I'm going to get to this certain place and mm-hmm. everything will change. And the happiness is an inside job, no matter where you're at, you know?
Absolutely. I want to go back to young Wendy, the Wendy that was dancing to the phone to pick it up. Like, I can so see your
I was really arm. Long. I still am.
What were the kind of things that you enjoyed watching? What lit you up? Like for me, my mom and I we would go see plays. And then on Friday, she would say, Christine, let's go watch a good movie. That's my mother would say, Valerie would say, let's watch a good movie. So what were some of the things you watched, and who were some of the people that made you lean in?
You know, it's so funny. I this is my like honest to God truth. It's like, okay. So my father had me when he was much older. My father had me when he was 50. And back then that was like a big time, you know, bigger difference than maybe now. But so he was born in 1920, you know, and he loved the classic movies. So I grew up watching Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers and all of those like classic dance movies, you know, Singing in the Rain and like every sailor movie or whatever. Like he was just like that classic movie lover in that way. But then to be up to speed with where I was at in my, you know, young preteen tween years, I'm trying to think, like, what did we watch that was so moving? You know what we watched? We watched Solid Gold and Star Search, okay? And I wanted to be a Solid Gold dancer when I was, like, 12. I was, like, Motion and Dance Fever and all of that. Like, that's what we watched. Like, I think they were all three in a lineup, you know? I still watch, like, Love Boat and stuff like that, but we would sit down and watch Star Search together and Solid Gold and all of that. And so maybe that's probably my love of dance was, like, the first thing. Mm-hmm. I was super focused in that way, you know?
I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where that came from for sure. And then my mother, God bless her. She would, like, I remember my 13th birthday, like, she took everyone to the library to see Meet Me in St. Louis with Judy Garland. Like, that was my, like, this was her idea of, like, oh, you know, and, like, I think she brought popcorn. Like, it was funny.
Pull out with it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was
pull,
like,
out on a budget.
Like, you know, so I grew up, like, you know, I really do have, like, this love of the classic movies from that time, you know?
Yeah. Like, I love
Judy
that.
Garland and all that. Yeah.
And think about some of the artists who were in that, like, what was it about them? What was it about their performances? Even if you don't remember everyone's name.
I mean, Judy Garland was such a, I think, a pop, like a pop. My mother loved Judy Garland. Even, like, my mother passed away, like, 12 years ago, and literally on her dying days, like, I sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow to her. So, like, the and then I remember the, you know, when you lose a parent or you lose anyone, you know, it's like your world stops, but the rest of the world keeps going, you know? Like, it's like no one knows that your world has stopped because everyone's just going into Starbucks and getting and doing stuff. And I remember walking into, like, Barnes and Noble after I got back to LA, and in the back, like, Somewhere Over the Rainbow was, like, playing. It was, like, the first time I heard it after my mother died. And so, like, I think just seeing Judy Garland, and of course, you know, now I, knowing her story and her painful story and watching, like, Judy Davis play her years later, and, you know, I, as a kid, I just watched this young girl, like, it was her vulnerability, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I think I just watched in awe.
Yeah.
I didn't watch, like, what is she doing? You know, like, as an actor, like, what's her thing, you know? But Betty Davis, who I share a birthday with, and just those old school, you know, I guess you can tell I'm not 20. These are, like, the old school, like, original kind of,
They're like classics, and it's like ultimate. And I'm just going to say this as a general term, like, showmen, like, just,
yes.
Like,
yes, they did it all, you know?
Yes. It's like, you know, it's like Liza Minnelli. You're going to get a performance.
Yes. 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 You know? Yeah. So I grew up sort of, like, you know, listening to Frank Sinatra, like, all that classic stuff. Although, you know, at 13, I was in my basement dancing to Prince and the Purple Rain album, you know? So it was like growing up with the classic stuff and then wanting to, you know, and then honestly this is the weirdest thing I won't say it was my idol, but I'm just thinking of as, like, a young girl, you weren't like, who are my acting idols? You're like, oh, he's cute. Like, you had a crush on a boy. So I saw 16 Candles, like, 23 times and was obsessed with, like, Anthony Michael Hall because he was, like, gawky and cute. And I thought we would be friends or whatever. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I love it. It's just, and anytime I think back to just, even as I'm having these conversations and I transport back to my younger self, it's, you're absolutely right. I couldn't always pinpoint the why, but it was like, something just made me lean in. Something made me feel,
yes.
Something just made me feel connected. And certainly I wanted to be there. I wanted to be in it.
Yes. 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 I think that's where the maybe becoming an actor is, like, not only did I watch Solid Gold, I'm like, I wanted to be on Solid Gold. Like, right. You know, I wanted to be on Star Search or in those movies. Who was your big, you know, lean in person when you were young, like when your mom was taking you to those movies?
Oh gosh. For me, my mother reminds me that I always loved the narrator. She said, I would just tell her that all the time. I love the narrator. And to this day, I love a good documentary for the narration. I actually.
Yeah, right. Well, that's like the root of storytelling. Is it not? I guess, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And similarly, I did watch some, like, Judy Garland, things like that, but I used to love, like, Ruby Dee, Ozzie Davis, any show, like at watching any Alvin Ailey show, any theater show, I had a thing where I would just purposely always watch the actor in the back or the dancer in the back. And I just wanted to see what they were doing. And that always stuck with me because as I got older and started training, some of my mentors would be like, until you're off, if the audience can see you, they, if you can see them, they can see you.
Right.
Serve all the way to your deep out of the wings.
Right.
And so I'm always drawn to people who I feel are giving 1,000%.
Yes. Yes. You know?
And now the mature version of me, what I do for fun, I know.
What do you do for fun?
What I do for fun now and like how I have acting class at home is now I go back and watch things I watched as a child that I enjoyed as with these adult eyes, with these coaching eyes, with these actors. Yes. And now I'm dissecting them in a whole new way that I of course, could not have back then.
Yes. And isn't it sometimes hard to watch stuff now with all those eyes? You know, like sometimes I'm studying so many things that it's like, it's sometimes hard to just, you know, actually why I like documentaries. Cause I'm not, I stopped studying the acting.
Right. Right.
But angles, even then you're like, no, that's real human behavior, you know, in a documentary. So that's what that looks like.
You know, this podcast, this series specifically is called Booking Magnet Magic. And again, it is to remind each and every one of us that we all have something magical and unique about us. What does Wendy's my Oprah moment? Okay. Wendy, what do you know for sure is your like magical superpower? No one else has to validate this for you. You bring this to every room. You bring this to every set. Like, what is that thing you know about yourself for sure?
Wow. My magical superpower really is just my take on it. I think it's just totally unique. And especially, I guess, in comedy, I'm going to bring perspective and maybe a gawkiness that maybe no one else will. I'm going to bring all of me. And I guess I know so much that that's so unique that it's like a perfect cake of all of the recipe of me. So I wouldn't say it's just flour or whatever, you know, it's like, it's my whole being. It's knowing after two decades in this business, no one does what I do in the way I do it. Just like no one does what Christine does in the way she does it. Just like no one who's listening does what you do in the way you do it. And I think it's taken me so many years to own that because you're always trying to figure out, like, what do they want? What, you know, so.
That's gold, y'all. This is gold. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
How much time, myself included, have we spent? What do they want? I hope they like me. I'm too tall. Like, I remember getting to a point like, okay, you're tall, you're chocolate. This is it.
Yeah, so you're not going to change that. Right. No. And you owning that, when you own that and you walk in the room, it's like, you know, I've been looking for that. And then you're not apologizing physically, like energetically, even if they don't know, you know, but when we are told, and believe me, I've been told I was too tall since the beginning of time, you know, but if you ask me what my superpower was and I say my height, it's like, well, then when I'm in flats, am I not as powerful? Like, it's not, you know, my height is just part of the recipe of me. Like, yeah, throw height in there, throw my pain and my vulnerability and my authenticity and my Midwestness and my wanting to get stuff right and my neurotic ways. And like, it's just owning really the shadow sides that you don't want to admit you are like, which has given me a beautiful career, quite frankly. And then all the like lovely sides that are really kind of boring characters anyway. So it's like, I really, my superpower is embracing the shadow sides of me, bringing them to roles in a way that, you know, that just make the role really authentic, I guess.
Oh, I love that. I love that. You know, I've said this a few times, but I'll say it again, because it feels so fitting right now. It sounds like you have come to a place. I love this recipe of you, by the way. I love that.
Yeah, I just made that up. I haven't even
Write it down.
No, that's good. I like that.
But it's like really understanding that you will be loved and chosen because of who you are, not in spite of who you
yes.
are.
Yes. Yes. And you know, the recipe analogy, I just think of this as we all are like bringing a dish to the table, right? If we all made spaghetti, everyone's spaghetti is going to taste different. And someone is just not going to like your spaghetti, no matter what you, no matter how you made the sauce, no matter how long you worked on it, no matter how much it simmered and all, right? No matter what school you went to make the sauce, it's like, someone's going to not going to like your sauce.
Yeah.
So I think we just have to keep, I don't know why I'm coming up with this whole analogy on the fly. You're helping me. We just have to keep like serving our dish in the way it is that day. And some days it's messy. And some days it's like, it looks like a really nice cupcake. And some days it's a disaster. And like, you just have to, you know, yeah. I don't know what, yeah, we're coming up with this on the fly. I love it.
No, I love it though. And I love, my audience knows I love food analogies, food and seasoning. Okay. I'm always using them.
Food and seasonings and seasonings. Is that what you said?
Yes. Because how you talk about the dish, I'm always like, you got to sprinkle a little Lowry's and like, you might have a little garlic powder you're putting in there. Yes. You're putting a little pepper. So yeah, yes. I'm always talking in food because I love to cook. I love to eat y'all. So
yes. Oh, and so maybe for your listeners too, it's like your superpower is your own cupboard. It's like, but do you know all the things? And for each role, you are picking out certain things to pour into this role. And some roles don't require that. You don't even need to bring that to the set. Right. And so it's, I think an actor is really about like, what seasonings, I guess, do you highlight, you know, and knowing how to cook, I guess, which I don't know. Right.
Truly. I mean, I mean, people say that all the time. I'm sure I've heard it in like a sales training somewhere, but like when you wonder like, oh, there's tons of coaches. Well, you can give five people the same ingredients to make the cake, but it's going to turn out, like you said, different each time. I love that so much. And so we're just encouraging you all listening, just encouraging you to just keep looking at what you have, what's in your story. Right. And know that it's good.
Yes.
Good. It is already good.
Yeah. And Christine, it's like, when you say that, keep looking at what you have, because I want to add in, because where the hell else are you going to look? Like what looking around and on Instagram isn't going to help you own more of you, right? It's almost like knowing, I think the world of acting is really about uncovering layers and knowing the self. And some people that's really hard to do, but as you uncover more about like who you are and you can own it, flaws and all, your work gets better and more interesting and more, you know, more fun too, you know, because you're not trying to hide this part of you that you think is not welcome or whatever, which I did for a long time, like walking into rooms like, okay, I'm playing the put together lady. And if I'm not put together, they're going to know. And I, you know, it's like, go ahead and breathe, you know, whatever.
No, that's good. That's good because it's, and again, that this comes with time, but it comes like, the more you know yourself, love yourself, see your worth. When you walk in rooms, you don't give your power away.
Amen. Which
is definitely something I used to do back in the day. And then I just made a decision one day after a good cry in my Geo Prism back then.
There you go.
I remember saying, no one, no thing or no feeling will ever prevent me from telling my story again.
And soundbite moment right there.
And that's something I always share with my students. It's like, because that's what happens. It's like, here's my power. All that prep I did, the story, like it's no. It's like, no, not even my own nerves are going to take this over. I'm here to tell a story, period. This is so juicy.
Oh, so good, Christine. And when you've made your mission to tell a story bigger than the moment where someone was like, it's not, or whatever, some other actress. I always feel like back when there were more auditions in the room, you know, that waiting room can mess with you, right? You know, and all that stuff, you know, that you could put that aside. I think your success becomes dealing, you know, with that rejection and all of that in a way that keeps you going. And I love that you told yourself that, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? It's Christine Horn, the Booking Magnet. I am so excited to invite you to our next event. It is called Booking Magnet Live. It's happening in Atlanta, Georgia on July 15th and 16th, 2022. You're going to spend 2 days surrounded with actors just like you. Actors who want more, actors who are looking for a safe space, a sanctuary, a safe haven to express themselves, to learn, to grow, and to connect. So I'm excited for you to experience that. Make sure you join us July 15th and 16th. You can click the link below, and I'm so excited to see you there.
I want to transition a bit to what paid gig was the one that proved to you, I'm good at this.
Yeah, when I did that one spot, that one commercial across from the guy who booked a pilot, inside I was all like, oh, I'm bummed I didn't book a pilot. But that it was for a department store at the time. You might have been out here. I don't know if you were out here then, but there was a department store called Mervyn's.
Oh no,
I
wasn't
you,
here yet.
Okay. It's like a Kohl's, you know, it's like, you know, sensible, cute stuff, whatever, and all kinds of clothes and things, whatever. It's like a Kohl's kind of place. But I was doing that one Mervyn spot. And then after I had finished that spot, even though I was bummed I hadn't booked the pilot, that's when they literally, because they thought what I did was so funny and I improvised a bunch, they offered me a 26 spot campaign after that one commercial where I was like crying in my car that I didn't book a pilot. Right. So you just don't know like what's coming. And I remember, you know, they like picked me up in a limo to take me to the set. Like my agents had a nice little contract and I would go and I had so much fun doing it and I knew everyone's name and I loved it, but I loved, you know, just using all of me. And yeah, it was then that I was like, I think I know what I'm doing. You know, and I remember someone being like, I love your process and Mervyn's and your technique. And I remember thinking like, I don't really, at that point, when I would shoot, I didn't really think, you know, it's almost like when you do a show, you know, you just stop thinking about it. You just do the show. And that's where I definitely got to with Mervyn's, where I was obviously so comfortable and doing it that I was like, I don't even think of a technique. I just do it. Right. You know, But I guess what I don't realize, and maybe I realize later, is like all of that is technique. You know, I remember telling my agent, like, this is really easy. You know, and it's like walking and talking. You'd be surprised at how there's a lot of a lot of, you know, technique that goes into it for years before that. So yeah, I think back then, you know, and then look, there were hills and valleys where I was like, you know, whatever. But I remember booking NYPD Blue like shortly after that. And then those spots were everywhere. And like Dennis Franz, and we were in a scene. And after we cut, he like jokingly said to the other cop, like, I wonder if she can get us any stuff at Mervyn's or whatever. And like everyone cracked up. So I was like, okay.
I'm famous.
Yeah, it was definitely moments where I'm like, now I'm on TV shows where the leads are like commenting. I'm okay. Then I realized I got to stop doing commercials. Like I need to do some, you know, but yeah, I guess I that was a really fun time. And that definitely, you know, when you get offered a campaign like that, that helps. But even in the middle of that campaign, I was like, still, where's my pilot? And what, like, I had moments where I was still unhappy, which I talk to actors about all the time. It's like, I had a 26 spot campaign.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I want to be a series regular and I want an Emmy and I want a family and it needs to be in that order, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
So that's when I had to do a lot of inner work. Yeah.
Well, that transitions right to my next question for you, was dealing with the ebbs and flows. Everyone I've had on this series, we talked about it in their own candid way, you know. So for me, you know, I think the thing that is certain about this industry is the uncertainty of what the day to day will look like, right?
Yes.
So that ebb could be working a lot, 26 campaigns and no work,
right?
Or yeah, it's about you being down. It's you and one other person for a spot, and it goes somewhere to someone else, not you. So how did you? And I know you've done so much work on the inside. And
I'm right.
Right. But what does what did that look like, and what maybe? How do you handle it?
This mystery? Well, I'll give you like one really practical advice I would tell any actor, which I really did. And it was part of like my Midwest roots, and my mom who brought popcorn to the movies was like, save your money. Right. I mean, I did that huge campaign and I didn't like go buy it. I think I bought like a plant. I was like, okay, like I saved my money. Mm-hmm. So then I have goosebumps at that because I think this desk is from when I had an apartment. I mean, I probably time to get a new desk, but like, I saved my money. And then I knew that when it ebbed, mm-hmm. I would be okay. And I really didn't have like a regular job. I was able to like audition and work on my auditions and work on my craft. But that being said, I went through like a devastating breakup shortly after Mervyn's and like, you know, really unhappy, even though I had this really recognizable campaign that I just started, you know, I remember going to like the Deepak Chopra Center, like down in La Jolla, and taking myself on like a meditation weekend retreat and like learning how to meditate, and was like, I need to, like, if all of this isn't making me happy, the thing that the girl passing out her mime tape wanted, right? Now we're here. And I think that's the scariest thing. And we're watching it a lot in the world right now. It's like, when you get to where you want to go, and it's still going to have its challenges. It doesn't lead you to like some state of happiness and joy forever, right? It's life happens. Days are, you know, even though you're on a series, even though, you know, whatever. So it was realizing like, okay, if my happiness isn't on the Mervyn set or doing 26 spots or getting a big fat check, if all of that, if I can still have a really crappy day with all that going on, then trying to climb the ladder to the next thing that I think will make me happy, probably not going to work, is it? Mm-hmm. I still have goosebumps saying that. That is like a rude awakening, I was going to say, but a necessary awakening, I think, for every actor, because there's so many who would just be like, I would kill for whatever your X, Y, or Z is. But if you can't find happiness along the way, I'm telling you now, and I still deal with it in my own career, it will never satisfy you. It will never be enough.
Because the bar always changes. When I was working two jobs, my 9-to-5 and my waiting tables at night, like I was like, oh, when I get a guest star, I can quit.
Right.
I can quit my jobs with that guest star, that one day guest star.
Right.
Oh, my sweet.
But you do a great job of, I'm sure as you did, you're going to take that one guest star and you're going to do whatever you can. You're going to make the most of that win. You're going to keep in touch. You're going to do all the things that the business side of Christine did to make that guest star turn into the next and the next and the next. And I think those are the skills that, you know, aren't talked about maybe enough too. It's like the business side and the mindset. It's like you need all of it. It's a business, and your mental health along the way. It's like, if you don't have tools in place for that, you know, it's a tough road. I think the thing is, I finally learned, like, I don't need the next manifestation as a justification for my happiness. Right. If I don't need the next thing as like the reason I will be happy in some future tense, then I can actually find joy today when there's like literally nothing going on, or I haven't had an audition in a week, or a month, or whatever it is. Like, you know, I was listening to someone the other day. I don't even know who it was. He said, I wish 7 billion people on the planet would stop chasing money, because the money is, you think the money is going to make you happy. You know what? Happiness, we should redefine happiness as waking up in a good mood. I was like, oh, wow, that's what most people, right? That's what most people kind of need. They think they need the money, but anyway, I'm going off on tangents, but I love this topic because I think it
sparked something for me. I had to make a note. You're right in where I'm headed, because I actually want to go a little bit deeper. And what, like, some for the, and I know Wendy's going to share a resource with you in a moment, but for you, especially for you back then, what was like was it a book? Like for me, like when I went on my personal development journey, it started with Les Brown. Every person I would listen to talked about who they listened to. So I went down the rabbit hole, Les Brown, Zig Ziglar, Jim Rohn, Tony Robbins, Lisa Nichols, Louise Hay, like Abraham Hicks. I just started, each one connected to another.
Yes.
And that is what woke up this inner light inside of me, Marianne Williamson. So what was it back then for you that sparked you getting and learning more about yourself?
Yeah. I mean, my college roommates would joke and be like, you've been putting quotes on the wall since you were 18. You know, like I was into like every single author you just name and speaker, and Les Brown, I would like listen to him, and Tony Robbins, and, you know, Wayne Dyer. I can't remember if it was like, you know, I cracked open Unleash the Power Within back in 98 or something, probably that. I don't remember like the moment and the book. I think those of us on the personal growth journey, you know, that's another thing I forgot to mention about my parents. When you go, what did you love and watch? Like, I grew up, my mom would watch Leo Biscaglia on you might not even know who he is, but like, and Wayne Dyer and all that PBS television people. Like, I grew up watching them. And so I think that's so much why I do both the acting and the personal growth stuff, because I remember reading Tony Robbins and reading Louise Hay. I'm like, I know, but what about for actors? Like, how do I make this make sense for me who doesn't have an audition this week? And I think that started on my own path to figure it out for myself. And yeah, then obviously now to help others, but it definitely started with all of that, you know? Yeah. I mean, I had those books with me in my Chevy Beretta driving to LA. Do you know what I mean? But I didn't realize how much I'd need to crack them.
Right.
You know?
I need this today.
Yeah. And Deepak Chopra's like The 7 Laws of Spiritual Success. I remember reading that. And, you know, Louise Hay has been a huge impact for me, and all of those amazing authors, and Wayne Dyer, I mean, my bookshelves, that's like what I read, you know, that I still reread. Like, it's still like, juicy, yes, you know?
And you see something new every time, or it's just the word hits you different, you know? And I, it's no shock to me that you ended up being a mentor to so many, because the teacher teaches themselves. Like, the thing that we need most, we're searching for a solution, and then yes, we share, hey, yes, this but well, worked for me. You want to try it? Like, that's kind of how
yes,
it earnestly starts.
Well, and Christine, wouldn't you say it's the reason, and this is why I love talking to you and I love what you do and who you're about, because we are teachers at our core and we love what we do. And I know you're the same kind like me, where you, when you learn something, you just want to share it with other yep, people. Yep. And it will probably, you know, I won't say never change. It will evolve throughout our careers, but even like, I just worked on This Is Us and I was like writing posts about right, sharing every, like how I booked it and how I, you know, and how I got to set at 4 a.m. with two kids and my husband going out of town. Like, how do you do like the stuff that I go, oh my God, I got to tell someone about this because some mom is going to need to know. You got to have the babysitter sleep over right, so you can get up at 3 a.m. and so you're not waiting for her to get there. And then you can't fall asleep all night right, because right, you're afraid she's not going to come and stuff like that. Anyway, so you
that's
continued
helpful,
to, that's
helpful.
Yeah, that was helpful. Yes. I had two babysitters. One that would come the day of and the neighbor who could sleep over. It was like, it was a lot.
Perfect. But no, it is that. Yeah.
That you keep learning and wanting to teach what you learn. And then really your cup is always full and there's always something new.
Yeah.
Too. I think that's part of it, you know?
Yeah. And it's that I stay in a state of seeking, like,
yes, yes.
I'm a lover of learning, and I enjoy,
yes,
I enjoy learning about people. I just, it really fuels me. It really does.
Well, like, and you know what? And I'm going to pause here and say, whoever's listening, no matter who you like study with or learn from, like, find that light in who you're learning from. Cause I feel like there's a lot of people that, that don't come from that really heart-centered place of like, I love learning and I love sharing. They're just, they're coming from a way different place. And, you know, I feel like it's few and far between the Christine Horns out there who are really sharing like from their heart, and they were going to give you everything they've learned, yeah, and then some extras and some extra sauce and seasonings.
Right. Yes.
You know?
Yes. You said, before I go into my final question for you today, but you do have, you have so many resources. And again, I'm going to have all of Wendy's links and all the things she's going to share with me in the show notes, so you'll be able to connect with her. But you do have one, now that you've felt the vibe for this conversation,
yeah,
what are you going to pull from your wonderful box of treats for the audience today?
You know, the mellow side of me, my alter ego creates guided meditations in my most calming voice, which is not my normal speaking voice. People who know me are like, who's that? I'm like, I know, that's this other side of me that I wish I could be like more often. But there's a guided meditation that actors have used for years, booked all kinds of jobs. It's a 5-minute guided meditation that helps you turn audition anxiety or Zoom callback anxiety or self-tape anxiety into confidence and ease in under like 5 minutes. So, my website is actorinspiration.com. That's singular, actor ACTOR, inspiration.com/free gift. And you can just get that as a free gift. It's a free download. You can, people have used it in book jobs and they email me. And I love hearing from actors who use it because it just, it's not about figuring out what they need. It's getting back to like, you know what? I am so enough right now. And if I bring my enoughness in that room and I open my pantry, I don't have a pantry analogy in the audio, but you know, but it gets you back to going, you know what, why you loved this and why you want to do this, whether it was in seventh grade or what, 3 years old or 22, is still with you. Yeah. I think sometimes we block it by looking outwardly for what everyone, you know, what I think they need, or I think they want. It just gets you back to like, who are you when you're playing and you are just you lighting up in a way that only you can do. Let's bring that to this work. Ooh. It's really trusting that. So anyway, actorinspiration.com/free gift.
Yes. Get it. And it's so in alignment with this conversation too. Because I'm sure you've heard many times, you know, I heard someone say it last night on a workshop that I taught. They're like, well, how do you get over the anxiousness and the anxiety and all the prep? And then it goes out the window when I'm like, it's like remembering who you are and what you're bringing to the table. So I think that's, I've get your hands on that because it's so juicy. And it's so many people in my circle have already downloaded it and have gone to many of your classes. So you'll love this. Wendy, before we wrap, I want you to just hold in your mind's eye for a moment, the seasoned actor who's maybe 15 plus years in the game, but doing this for a minute, but they've hit a lull and they're asking themselves, maybe this, my time is up. Maybe I haven't had a break. Maybe I should just call it quits. I also want you to hold in your mind's eye the young, eager, new actor to the game, but they're feeling frustrated because they don't feel like they're getting that first opportunity. They don't seem to break through. They're not feeling like they can break through. And they feel like, maybe I'm just kidding myself. Maybe I should just throw in it. If you could just offer a virtual hug, any word of encouragement to them, what would that be?
I would say to make a joy and fun list of what you love to do as a kid, of what you haven't done in a while, of what you think you would do once you booked a job, and of what you think you would do once you booked a job that requires no money. And I would make a date daily or weekly to do something on that list. And I would get back to the joy in your life, which you can create today, no matter what is going on in your career. And I would get your focus off of needing the thing to bring you the validation, because it works opposite. You can't need the thing to give you the validation, because you're not a match to the validation. You got to get busy enjoying your life. And then you bring that to the work. And there's a not needing or wanting or holding on or wishing or hoping, even though I know what it's like, I get it. But we have to find a way to enjoy today, because this day is never happening again in your lifetime. And so, yes, we can. Yes, you have big dreams. And yes, you don't take away the dream. You don't take away the goal. You take away the constant dissatisfaction in the meantime. I have goosebumps and I work on this too, guys, you know, it's just turning down the volume on that. And that might be how many times you check social media or whatever it is, turning down the volume on that, maybe turning the volume up on meditation or some quiet time or your joy and fun list, and getting yourself back, because you're losing yourself in this business thinking it's going to give you anything that you need to make you feel enough. That is not how it works. And you'll never, you know? So yeah, and the good news is, guess what? You're going to be a lot happier along the way. You'll be way more fun to be around. And then all the other stuff's like icing on this cake. But I want you to look at the table of your life and what else is on your table. Because a lot of actors are like, no, my career is the whole table. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. one dish on, mm-hmm. I want you to Hello. Have, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On the table of your life.
Ooh, you that's know? Good. Yeah. That's good. It's one dish.
It's one dish. What are the other dishes? Everyone's like, well, it's the whole table, and I'm sitting in my house and I don't have a table. I have nowhere to eat. And like we kind of stomp around. And I want you to not only make the table the nicest table you can have, I want you to start putting the joy back on the table of what else you can have going on. Because let me tell you something, I've worked with a lot of number ones on the call sheet, and you know what they want to do? They just want to go home and eat at their table, right? They got other things. So you want to be a match to being a regular, a match to working. That's a full life. That's a joyful life. It doesn't mean you have kids and a family. It just means you have other things that you do. It might mean you just go on a walk more often, or hiking with a friend, or little things, you know? But find your joy and find it outside of acting, in addition to acting, you know?
Oh, that's so good. My brain just went on a whole, I'm very visual. So my brain started seeing the table and me putting different dishes, and I was thinking about what the dishes are from my life. And I was like, well, my table's full, but there's still some space there that I'm not using. Yes. Like that was—
Yeah, right.
And it was making me smile, and just, the question that was immediately coming up, what else do I want to put on my table?
Yes. Yes, I love that. You know, because then, because we're all multifaceted, really, you know, and there's, I mean, even I was looking at Milo Ventimiglia. I'm like butchering his name. The guy on, I just worked on This Is Us. So I'm like following the whole cast, and go to his Instagram. All he does is photograph like Yellowstone, and like all he does, number one on the call sheet, lead on a series. His entire Instagram is like travel and photography. Like that's probably maybe why, I don't know why he wants to do what he does, but when he has a day off, what are you gonna do? Build your life now for the days off, right? What are you going to do on your hiatus for 3 months? And it's not about taking giant trips that are expensive. It's like this guy will photograph whatever, and he just sees it all from that artistic eye. And maybe that helps him direct or whatever. Like it all feeds back into your art, but you got to go have the life, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm full. This is also, I interviewed an actress, Gail Bean, earlier this morning. And I just, this whole series, y'all, if you've missed any part of the series, make sure you come to the website to just see which episodes you've missed so you can catch them all, because they've all been so juicy and so unique and so wonderful and so yummy. Wendy Braun.
Christine.
Thank you for sharing this space and time with me. Thank you for your light and what you bring to this industry, not just on our screens, but just in your work as a mentor and as another positive voice. We need more of that in this.
Yes. Movie. Yes. Amen. Well, you are very welcome. I love talking to you. You're such a light, and I think we mirror and see each other's light. And so it's beautiful to see your face.
Yes. 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 Y'all, this is Wendy Braun. Again, all her links will be in the show notes, and make sure you get that free gift from her. That guided meditation will give you life. And again, this is Booking Magnet Magic. Make sure you check out the rest of this series, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Hollywood Bound Actor Podcast at HollywoodBoundActor.com.